coming up on KUCB News. On Alaska's City Council wants Aaron Reinders to be the next city manager and how Alaska's governor may exercise his veto power in the coming months. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Monday, April 15th, 2019. The City Council wants Aaron Reinders as Onalaska's next city manager. Last week, councilors heaped praise on Reinders, who currently works as assistant manager, before voting to start negotiations on a contract that'll promote her to the top job. KUCB's Laura Craigle has more.
Councilors called a special meeting Thursday night to sole source the city manager position. After less than 20 minutes in executive session, they emerged with a unanimous and enthusiastic decision to start negotiations with Reinders. Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson says she'd be a great manager.
Erin is a real community member. Her interest is in this community, and she loves it. Her family loves it.
Reinders has worked for the city since 2011 and was a finalist in the council's last two searches for a city manager. In 2015, she lost out to Dave Martinson, who resigned within 2 years over clashes with the mayor and council. In 2018, she lost out to current manager Thomas E. Thomas, who resigned 2 weeks ago without stating a reason for his departure. Reinders' previous applications were something the vice mayor made a point to acknowledge.
I'll be the first to say that I made a mistake the last time, but I think Aaron will be really productive, and looking forward to it.
Councilor Roger Rowland echoed Robinson's confidence in Reinders' experience, as well as her ability to lead a smooth transition after Thomas's last day on May 31st.
We have a policy at the city of trying to move people up through the ranks, and she has done that, and she's actually served different times over the past few years as city managers have been out of town. She is always the designated acting city manager.
Mayor Frank Kelty will handle negotiations with Reinders, who was actually offered a job as Seward city manager on the same day Thomas submitted his letter of resignation. Councilors did not address Reinders' other offer, but their decision to call a special meeting 2 days after accepting Thomas's letter seemed to stem from their eagerness to keep her in Onalaska. Here's Mayor Kelty.
I look forward to trying to come to an agreement with Aaron, and I'm sure we can come to at least I'll work real hard on coming up with an agreement that council can support.
Traveling on both personal and business leave, Reinders was not at the special meeting, but in an email last Monday responding to KUCB's inquiries about her Seward offer, she said, quote, "Right now is certainly a time of discernment, both personally and professionally. No final decision has been made yet, and there are a number of different things to consider," end quote. The City Council's next regular meeting is slated for next Tuesday, April 23rd. In Onalaska, I'm Laura Craigle.
And now we have more on Reinders' career in local government. Former KUCB reporter Greta Mart filed this story in December 2015 when Reinders was named assistant city manager.
The former head of the city's planning department is now second in command at City Hall. On Thursday, Aaron Reinders was named as the new assistant city manager. Reinders was born and raised in Illinois, growing up in Woodridge, a Chicago suburb. Her undergraduate years were spent at Eastern Illinois University. Then Reinders earned her master's in urban affairs and public policy at the University of Delaware. That's where she became interested in pursuing a career in planning and working in local government.
During that graduate school experience was when I came in contact with a state planner, and he kind of turned me on to the whole thing. And then even when I was in grad school, now that I'm thinking about it, my geography professor, who I traveled quite a bit with, she became a professor after some many years in planning. And so I remember traveling around Ecuador with her talking about city planning.
Her first job was as an assistant planner for the city of Franklin, about 15 miles south of Nashville, Tennessee. She worked at Franklin City Hall for roughly 10 years before coming to Unalaska. She and her husband and young daughter arrived here in the summer of 2011.
I have to say, I flew out here with my husband in June of 2011, and from the moment our plane landed, I knew that this was it. Like, this is where I wanted to be. So there was never any doubt in my mind.
Reinders says although she's switching departments and focus at City Hall, she's prepared.
I've been working in local government now for 12 plus years. And so, I mean, as you kind of get into it, you really work all throughout the different departments of government and municipalities. And I just love learning and growing and trying new things and everything. And so in my mind, it's a natural progression of things.
In 2010, she completed a year-long program to earn credentials as a certified public manager. That program was through the University of Nebraska.
So that really gave me kind of the educational foundation and really what municipal government all entails. But I think just living it and breathing it for the last 12 years, you kind of pick up on stuff. So I'm excited to move in that different direction and kind of expand what I'm actually get to be involved with.
Reinders leaves the planning department on a high note. Just last month, she was honored as Planner of the Year by the Alaska chapter of a National Planners Association.
That was a 2015 report from KUCB's Greta Mart. Governor Mike Dunleavy spoke for half an hour last week at a news conference, and his words made clear that he thinks lawmakers aren't doing enough to cut the state budget. His sharpest point, however, may have been in silent message, the red pen tucked in his breast pocket. The pen was a reference to Dunleavy's power to cut the budget himself. Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media has this story on the governor's line item veto.
This story is about what's happening now at the Alaska Capitol in Juneau. But it starts more than a half century ago at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
The hour appointed by the Alaska Territorial Legislature, having arrived for the convening of the Alaska Constitutional Convention.
It was 1955, and convention delegates were deciding what they wanted their new state government to look like. One thing they knew was that they were frustrated by how little power Alaska had over its own affairs as a federal territory. So they decided to create a very strong governor. Not only did they give the governor the power to veto specific line items in the budget, they made it extra hard for the legislature to overturn a line item veto, requiring a special three-quarters vote. Here's Steve McCutcheon, the delegate who chaired the convention's committee on the legislature.
Because you cannot exercise a strong executive arm unless you have a strong control on the purse strings.
Okay, now we can get back to this year.
It's going to touch all Alaskans, no matter where they live and no matter what they do.
That's Alaska's new governor, Republican Mike Dunleavy, when he was introducing his budget earlier this year. Dunleavy wants to pay residents much larger permanent fund dividends. So he's proposing steep cuts to core government services, public schools, healthcare, ferries, and the university system. The state legislature has moved toward reducing Dunleavy's proposed dividend and adding back much of the money for government programs that he wants to cut. But once lawmakers pass the budget, Dunleavy can veto parts of it back down. At a recent news conference, he said he's still waiting to see what the final version looks like. And then he said this.
If all we're going to have in the budget are a small reduction, then we really haven't accomplished much this year. We're not going to put any tools off the table, and I'm not going to be afraid to use any of the tools that the Constitution has provided the executive.
The real power of the governor's line item veto resides not so much in the veto itself, but in how hard it is for the legislature to override it. In almost every other state, lawmakers can override vetoes of spending with a two-thirds or simple majority vote. Alaska is the only one where it takes three-quarters, 45 votes out of the combined 60 members of the House and Senate. That three-quarters bar is so high and the threat from Dunleavy seems so real that some lawmakers were trying to rally support for overriding vetoes even before the governor introduced his budget, says Representative Lance Pruitt, an Anchorage Republican. To be clear, Pruitt leads the House's Republican minority, which is more aligned with Dunleavy, and he wasn't on board with this idea.
Probably even before we got down here to Juneau, people were kind of, well, what about the veto override? There was a recognition then
because of what the governor had said, that his that he had no problem taking that action, that they had to account for that.
One concern for left-leaning lawmakers opposed to steep spending cuts is that Republicans like Pruitt could choose to side with Dunleavy out of partisan loyalty. But if Dunleavy takes vetoes too far, he could end up uniting lawmakers against him across party lines. Like if the budget he signs has something for everyone to dislike. Cuts to ferries that Southeast Alaska depends on, cuts to school construction payments that are important in the MATSU, and cuts to the university system, which is centered in Fairbanks. Here's how Jesse Keel, a Democratic senator from Juneau, sees the dynamics.
Yeah, the simple fact is that this governor's budget proposal has pain for the whole state, and we all have issues that are particularly important to us. So you can't get there picking off one or two. You got to get to three quarters. So it's going to be a broad agreement if it happens.
Of course, lawmakers could avoid line item vetoes altogether by settling on a compromise budget that satisfies the House, the Senate, and Dunleavy. But for now, such a compromise plan appears to be far off. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.